When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome everyone to FMC. I am Jeremy. That is SP3. It is Tuesday. It is the first day of August. And SP3, there ain't a whole lot to talk about when it comes to the NBA. That's what this podcast is based on. That's what this podcast is expertise in, because you know, we set the stage for the entire NBA Twitter talking about Dwayne Wade and James Harden last week on the show, and then that was the entire discussion for the week on NBA Twitter. So yeah, we are trendsetters in this world, allegedly, kind of, sort of. But yeah, not a whole lot to talk about. I know you've seen the headline here. We do have a Damian Lillard memo, which apparently you're not familiar with, so that'll be fun to clue you in. I have hypothetical 76ers trades that I talked about with my friend Sammer over the weekend that I want to toss out to you. And then I watched a little show called Dating Naked on Paramount Plus that yes, it's from like 2015, so it's an older show.
I remember this.
It was on VH1. They gotta bring this back.
God,
it's good. I got some tweaks. I want to make some tweaks to it. But this is a good show. This Dating Naked show. How you doing, buddy?
Oh my God. I'm doing well. What I have on tap for today's show is that I started rewatching one of the greatest reality TV shows of all time. Yes, I am talking about Jersey Shore.
There you go.
Doing a rewatch of that, so I'll talk about that a little bit, because I finished season one. I'm also watching 90 Day Fiance the other way, and we might have found the most toxic relationship in the history of this show. It might be the most toxic relationship in the history of this show. So
that covers a lot of ground.
But we'll talk about that on today's show. And as far as the NBA, I mean, I don't have much. They're not giving us much to talk about, Jeremy. Thankfully, we don't do a daily show. Thankfully, we're not First Take and Undisputed. But these guys are so desperate. Their producers so desperate. They have to come to FMT. Yes, I mean First Morning Trend. We set the trends here, and then they have to follow it on all these other shows, because they do 5 shows a week. We do 1 show a week, because we give you quality over quantity.
This Damian Lillard memo, we've talked a lot about Damian Lillard and how he's being bitch made for this whole trade saga. It's awful. It's awful. It's so bad that the NBA is stepping in. SP3, they're stepping in. What are you drinking? Pink lemonade? Is that what that is? Yeah, that looks good.
Strawberry lemonade.
Okay.
Strawberry lemonade.
All right. I respect it. This Damian Lillard thing. So the NBA sent a memo to basically all the teams, to Lillard's agent and everything. The NBA said in the memo that Goodwin, who is Lillard's agent, who basically said, reportedly called teams and warned them, don't trade for Dame because he's going to be unhappy unless he's in Miami. The NBA sent a memo and said that Goodwin denied stating or indicating to any team that Lillard would refuse to play for them. It went on to say that relevant teams provided descriptions of their communications with Goodwin that were mostly, though not entirely, consistent with Goodwin's... What is mostly, though not entirely, consistent with Goodwin's statement to us? So if Goodwin
mostly,
tells the NBA...
Mostly true, but he lied a little bit.
So if Goodwin tells the NBA, yeah, look, I never said, hey, don't trade for Dame, he'd be unhappy. And then the NBA talked to these teams like, yeah, that's mostly true, but not fully true. So what part is not true of that? Yeah, if you trade for Dame, he will actually be unhappy here. You can trade for him, but he will be unhappy. Goodwin never said don't trade for him. He said we could trade for him. But the part that is true is he's going to be unhappy here. It's awful. It's awful. So the NBA sent this memo to all the teams, and Lillard said that informed the Blazers he would like to be traded after another team used the third pick on Scoot Henderson, all this stuff. The Blazers GM said it could take months to complete a Lillard trade. This memo got sent, and the memo is basically because Lillard's agent and Lillard are being bitches, SP3. Complete bitch-made behavior with how much they're talking to the media, how much they're talking to Woj of like, I'm only going to Miami. Don't trade for me. I'm going to be happy, unhappy everywhere else. James Harden ain't getting this memo because James Harden knows when to shut the fuck up. That's what he's doing. He's shutting the fuck up and he ain't saying anything. He's made it clear he wants to go to the Clippers. He'll end up on the Clippers, but he's smart enough to not go to the media with all of this stuff. He's just chilling. He's chilling, not getting himself in trouble. Dame's doing too much talking. It's bitch-made behavior on both aspects, but it's even heightened by Dame to the point where the NBA has to step in. What are we doing?
I don't know what Dame is doing at this point. He is not going about this the right way, and it tends to kind of show us that this is why he never tried to ask for a trade or request a trade before, because he doesn't know how to handle this type of situation. He earned his reputation being the loyal company guy, home teamer. I'm gonna stick with the team that drafted me, or stick with the team I started with in the NBA. I'm not gonna go anywhere else. Gonna stick with them. And ever since that tune has changed, it seems like he doesn't know how to handle this situation in the best way possible. And this is another kind of byproduct of that. But I mean, I think that he needs to shut up. I think that he needs to sit down and he'll get what he wants. Most superstars in this league get what they want. And Dame Lillard is in the top 75 players that the NBA named a couple of years ago. So he will get what he wants. He just needs to sit clear and just relax. Don't get too out of hand because you're not handling the situation the best way. When James Harden is handling a situation better than you, you know there's an issue.
They all get what they want. Dame is 100% going to go to Miami. We all know it. Harden's going to go to the Clippers. We all know it. Just as you said, just don't say anything. You've made your intentions clear. Anytime these superstar players make their intentions clear, they get what they want. You don't need to push and push and push because you just make yourself look bad. And that's what happened here with Dame. He's made himself look bad. Dame, that used to be, probably still is in some circles, but he used to be just the loyal franchise guy who everyone loved, who I thought was a little overrated because he hadn't actually accomplished a whole lot on the court. He gets Damian Lillard's biggest accomplishment to fame is being a meme. Being a meme with the waving goodbye and the face and everything. That's it. That's his biggest claim to fame, is he's a meme on NBA Twitter. Not an actual record, not an actual stat, not a trophy. He's a picture. Congratulations. Congratulations, Dame. You're no better than any other meme that's out there. Yeah, and actually won it.
So being on the all-star game, on the all-star team and all NBA, those are no accomplishments.
Being on the all-star team, they pass out all-star fans vote on that. Fans are stupid. SP3.
Okay, all NBA.
He's good for him. All-NBA. Good for him. There's a lot of all DeAndre Jordan's an all-NBA player.
DeAndre had a good year. He had a good year at one.
That's what all NBA means. You have a good year.
He's multiple times. It's not like a one time. You can't compare him to DeAndre Ayton.
I just did. DeAndre Jordan. That's ridiculous. That's all NBA first team in 2016. That's it. DeAndre Jordan was all NBA. You know what DeAndre Jordan has that Damian Lillard doesn't have? A ring, SB3. He got that championship. Got that championship this year with my Denver Nuggets. Damian Lillard ain't got one of those.
I mean, if Dame Lillard would have sit on the bench for a championship team, he could do that. He could do that.
He should. Nah. He get a ring. He wants to do it the right way.
He wants to be a contributor to a championship.
Yeah, he wants to
team.
Be a contributor by forcing his way to Miami. He doesn't want to contribute.
Hey,
on
he's going
to
be the number one or number two, the best player on that team instead That's of a fine. Bench player, instead of Adam Morrison, who's a glorified cheerleader. That's what DeAndre Jordan was this year for the Denver Nuggets.
Dame wants to contribute. Has he won one? Does he have one?
He got close. He got to a conference finals.
A conference finals. How many games they win in that conference finals?
They won one. No,
did
none.
They?
None.
Did they? How many games they win in that conference?
Hey, they went to it. They got there.
Good on them.
That's a
Good
lot. That, Joel there. Embiid. Joel Embiid can't say that he's been to
he
a
hasn't.
Conference finals.
No. Joel Embiid can't say that. Good job. He made the conference finals. He got his... That was the knock on Jokic, right? What has he done? Jokic made a conference finals beforehand.
Yeah,
it was a bubble. Yeah. It doesn't really count.
Yeah, but... y'all were holding on to that. Y'all were holding on to that for two-time MVP.
Yeah.
So we
at least he won two MVPs.
Us Dame fans. See, I'm jumping on the Dame bandwagon. Anybody I jump on the bandwagon for, you tend to see, ladies and gentlemen, they do pretty well. Jimmy Buckets was the last bandwagon I got on. Oh, man. We rode it all the way to the NBA Finals. I was looking at the other SP3 on who's the leader, who's driving the Laker bandwagon. I was like, I'm sitting here. I'm like, oh, man. Guys, I'll see y'all in Cancun as they stopped at the conference finals. Couldn't win another one. And I kept going with the Jimmy Buckets bandwagon. To the NBA Finals. Been to so many NBA Finals.
But who won? Which team won? And who was supporting that team? Good job making the finals, SP3. Good job making the finals. Golf clap for you and jumping on the Jimmy Buckets bandwagon to make
yeah,
the finals.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I jumped on a bandwagon for a guy that was underrated and that was being crapped on by people like, you know, my esteemed... colleague over here. Well, my esteemed colleague over here jumped on the bandwagon for a two-time MVP.
Listen, who you were crapping on, saying it was undeserved.
Who took more of a risk here?
I did because I jumped on. I didn't jump on a bandwagon, by the way. I've been riding for Jokic for the past few years.
You jumped on a bandwagon.
I've been riding for Jokic the past few years, and I picked them to start
the season. You're just in the front of the bus. That's fine.
I picked them to start the season. That's what happened. I picked them to start the season. You jumped on in during the playoff time. Good job.
Jimmy Buckets, no. I've been on Jimmy Buckets since the bubble finals. I've been on Jimmy.
Did you pick them to beat the Bucks?
No, I didn't. But okay. I believed in Jimmy Buckets. That's good that you believed in him.
You didn't pick him.
I believe.
You didn't pick him. You didn't stake your reputation to pick them. You just
believed.
Because
Jimmy Buckets is not the Miami Heat. The question was, can Jimmy Buckets beat the Milwaukee Bucks? I would have said yes.
But you didn't have the confidence in the rest of the team around them?
Yeah, no, nope.
Is that what it was?
Nope.
Your belief wasn't that strong then.
My belief is you're saying
Miami would have been better off playing 1-on-5. Then you would have picked Miami if it was 1-on-5 instead of how it actually was.
If it was the Miami Jimmy Buckets, I would have picked them.
Well, now they're going to be the Miami Dame Lillards in 3 weeks when this trade finally gets completed. That's what I'm predicting.
Can't wait.
3 weeks.
Can't wait.
3 weeks. Yeah.
So we're talking about August. In August.
Yeah. It'll happen before September. That's my prediction.
Okay.
It'll happen sometime this month. I'm saying 3 weeks, but it'll happen sometime this month. The Lillard trade and the James Harden trade. These two guys. These two friggin' guys.
Our favorite people to talk about on FMC this
it's the
NBA
only people
off-season.
To talk about because nobody else is doing anything.
Everybody took care of everything in like the first 2 days of free agency, and we've literally had nothing to talk about since.
Yeah, that's basically what has happened here.
I'm glad the Lakers won free agency. I mean, that's all I think.
Good job. What does that actually what does that get you? Hang the banner.
We got Hang a ring. We got a ring for it.
For free agency?
For free agency, yep.
Hang the banner for free agency.
Free agency, summer league, then the championship.
I'm going to piggyback off of this James Harden deal because again, I think he gets done. We know how this stuff works. He's going to go to the Clippers and everything. So he gets traded to the Clippers. Apparently the Clippers won't... Yeah, that's what they do in the playoffs. Apparently exactly. they won't give up Terrence Mann in this deal, which is a bitch made move on the Clippers part. I talk a lot about the Miami package, how it's not good. The Clippers package is not good either. Neither of these trade packs, especially if they don't give up Terrence Mann. Even if they do give up Terrence Mann, it's still not a great deal for James Harden. But if they don't give him up, it's like you're giving up Norman Powell, Robert Covington, Marcus Morris, draft picks. Like that's not the best return in the world. There's no young player there. It's like good secondary pieces. If you're Philadelphia, you're basically asking Tyrese Maxey to step up and be that secondary guy. You obviously have Embiid already. Can Maxey do that? I like Tyrese Maxey. Can he really step up and be that second guy? I don't know. Guess we're going to find out this season because Harden doesn't look like he's long for there.
No.
So when it comes to Embiid, though, they're going to trade Harden. Philly's going to trade Harden. The return, at least right now, not looking great. They're not going to get a second like star player in return. So Maxey, Embiid, PJ Tucker, Tobias Harris. I get he's still there. Tobias Harris. Let's say you get Covington, Powell. Is that team like where is that team in the East? And if they're not good enough to win a title. Embiid's 29, which isn't old or anything, but a lot of injuries throughout his career. And the way he falls, the style that he plays, I don't know how long he's holding up and everything. There's already criticism of how he plays in the playoffs when his performance kind of drops in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Do they think about trading Embiid at some point? And what is a hypothetical Joel Embiid trade look like to you?
That's just like we've
support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
In the white flag, if you trade Joel Embiid. I don't think that's going to happen this season. Don't see it happening next season. I think that that's something that's like 3 years away if it is coming. And if they do complete this trade with the Clippers, first of all, they're dumb. Just want to let that
They're not going to have a choice, though.
Maybe they're not going to have a choice, but there's better trades than the Clippers. Like, just because this is where he wants to go.
I know, but nobody's making these offers. That's the thing. Like, nobody's making these offers because these star players, they picked where they want to go, and nobody wants to step up and make an offer and be like, all right, I don't really care that this is where.
Hey, I'm hoping picked. A Dallas Mavericks comes out of nowhere. Kyrie Irving wanted to go to the Los Angeles Lakers. Everybody thought it was only the Los Angeles Lakers, really, and the Utah Jazz because they were involved in every single trade at that time. They thought they were the only people that wanted the trade for Kyrie Irving, and then Dallas came in the middle of the night and pulled off the trade. So I hope there is a Dallas Mavericks out there for this scenario, because I don't think that trade's going to work out for the Clippers. I don't see that trade working out for the 76ers. But if that is the only trade and they do complete that trade, you have to kind of build out a whole new system around Embiid and kind of hope for Maxey to improve. I would trade Tobias Harris to fill out the roster even further and revamp everything in a different format. And then you have a lot of free agency money, and maybe you can get that secondary piece if Tyrese Maxey doesn't improve to that level. But I don't think they're, like, in the next 3 years going to trade Joel Embiid.
I don't think they actually will either. I don't know, 3 years. Look, they're gonna have the Harden trade's gonna go through at some point. This is gonna be not necessarily a rebuilding year for them, because they're still a team that has enough pieces to make the playoffs, to maybe do something in the playoffs. And maybe losing James Harden, getting more serviceable role players, getting more guys, you know, and Embiid and Harden said it in the press conference, and Embiid said it in the press conference after they lost to the Celtics, is like, we need other guys to do other things. He did put some blame on himself and Harden as well, but he's like, other guys got to step up. Well, now you got more guys who could potentially step up and fill gaps, fill roles. They got Nick Nurse in there. Everyone praises him as a coach. You know, let's see what he can do with this roster that will be obviously a lot more Joel Embiid centric and take the ball. James Harden he's not going to be there. It's going to be a lot of Maxey creating the offense, initiating the offense, and then Joel Embiid doing his things. And then Norman Powell can have explosions. Robert Covington, he's still good. He's tailed off over the years, but he's still good. Marcus Morris is, you know, washed dollar store Carmelo Anthony. So good on him. Let's see what he can do. That's what he is, SP3. That's what he is. We'll see how he does. Tobias Harris. I don't know. So Tobias mean. Harris. What?
So mean.
Give me a better comparison for Marcus Morris.
No, I mean, I didn't say you were wrong. I said it was so mean.
He's not a fan. Not a fan of his game. Not a fan of just his play style, anything. Just not a fan of it. And Tobias Harris is... he's there. He's making a lot of money. Good on him. But Tobias Harris is there as well. Like, it's not like the worst roster in the world. It, you know, nowadays it just seems like, well, you're going to need just that second star to really step up. Look, if Tyrese Maxey can raise his game to a level of a Jamal Murray-ish type out there, Joel Embiid, if you want to make a comparison to Jokic, fine. We know who's better. Then you could see how maybe it would be better to be a little bit deeper than to be a little bit top heavy. I don't think that's the worst roster construction in the world. So if when the Sixers make this trade and it goes through and they add the depth and everything, we'll give them this season. We'll see how they do. And then they will probably have to reevaluate after this season of, okay, is there a second star out there we could get for Embiid? Or do we potentially trade Embiid? I'm going to throw this out here.
I think they trade Maxey before they ever trade Embiid.
I mean, probably. Yeah. Because Maxey is going to have a lot of value because he's still a young player. He's got a lot of tools that I'm sure a lot of teams like. We know all the time, these stars become available every single offseason, right? Not even every single offseason, like every single midseason. Kevin Durant got traded in the middle of the season. Kyrie Irving got traded in the middle of the season. James Harden was traded in the middle of the season. So we know that James Harden's like early kind of season. But we know these trades happen in the middle of the season all the time. So it's very possible that within the first month of the season, some superstar player is like, yeah, I don't want to be here anymore. And they decide to trade Maxey. Money Mark says Maxey's a free agent after this season. It's restricted though, isn't it? He's still
I think he's still going to be restricted. So they can match any offer given to him, but I don't know. This is going to pan out for Philadelphia. It seems like this is going to be a very kind of which way do they go type of season. But I see them as right now, as presently constructed, even with a James Harden trade in mind, they're in the top five, top six teams in the East. I think that only Boston, Milwaukee, Miami, right now, those are the teams like off the top of my head that are better than them. So they're in that top four, top five, top six range.
I mean, that's where they've kind of been anyway. I'm not putting Miami up there until the actual Damian Lillard trade goes through.
It don't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
Miami. Believe in Miami.
You just said you only believe in Jimmy Buckets.
I believe in Miami now.
Bam out of Bayou. I like Bam out of Bayou. He's a good player.
Yeah. Great player. Tyler Hero's going to be healthy. Going to be back. Going to be shooting buckets.
He's not going to be on the team once they trade him for Lillard, but sure.
Hey, you told me to think of the team as presently constructed.
So I am, like, but I'm also saying.
Why you playing both sides, bro? Now you go, he's not going to be on the team. What?
He's not. They're going to trade him for Lillard, but until that trade goes through, then I'm looking at the team as currently constructed. As currently constructed, it's a fine team. Dude, they were an eighth seed.
So as currently constructed, you can't look at a player on the team. That's what you're telling
me. Yes. Yes. Is Tyler Hero healthy? Is he healthy?
He's healthy. He was back for one game in the finals.
Was he? How'd he do?
He had like 9 points.
Oh. Good for him. Not bad. Okay. Good for him. What other rankings do you have here? SPT.
I have a spectacular thing that I've become known for on this damn channel. It's tier list time, but this time it's an NBA tier list, Jeremy. I've shared it to present here. You can pop it in, and we can be under Tag Talk screen. You can put us under Tag Talk screen. What happened?
It's because Tag Talk has been on hiatus. So there we go. Tag Talk's been on hiatus. So it's not the last background.
We told them though. We told them though. We would keep. We would keep it alive. Keep it alive by using it on the show. Shout outs to Haley and Kylie. But yes, have an NBA tier list here where me and Jeremy can change it up. We could switch it up. anytime we want. We could put, we could do it like every other week, every week. We'll see how it goes, depending on what moves, what trades, how teams are looking when the scene, when the season actually starts. But I wanted to present it here to everyone, and really quickly, we could put some teams in these tiers. Because, you know, there's obvious teams here that belong in certain tiers. But we got the top tier is championship contenders. We got the next tier after that, serious contenders. So these are the, I think these are more of the people that are not like, you don't see them winning the championship, but you consider them a lot more serious this coming season than we did previously. Contender is, I guess, someone who is in the mix in whatever conference they're in. First round exit, they're a bottom tier team in whatever conference they're in, even though they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to be out in the first round. Play in, that's a team that's going to compete for the play-in. That's usually, you know, how Utah Jazz was this year, this last season. That's kind of what you would consider a play-in type of team. And then the lottery team is just a team that, you know, they're just going to bomb it. They're the Thunder of last year, basically. They're going to bomb it, even though the Thunder made the play-in. I know, even though the Thunder made a play-in. But your goal was the lottery. Like I'm saying, at this point last year,
Utah's goal was the lottery last year. I know. Utah was not trying to be a contender.
I know. I didn't use the best examples for either of them, but they're the first teams that came to mind. But, both of those teams would be in that lottery mix at this time last year. But we got here, Jeremy. We got all the teams, all the NBA teams. Utah Jazz is the first team up here. Where do you consider Utah? Should we just put them back in the lottery?
Yeah, lottery. I don't think they're good.
Pistons lottery?
Yes.
Hornets lottery or Hornets play-in?
No, Hornets suck. They're a lottery team. That Portland, legitimately might be the worst team in the league.
Portland is a lottery team.
Yes.
We can raise the Hornets here. We'll put the Hornets at the top spot here. Okay, Dallas, I would say first round exit.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, Houston lottery.
I think they're playing. Like they got Van Vliet, they got Dylan Brooks, they got a young team. Like I don't know if they're gonna be good, but they're trying to make at least the play in. This is a team that's like trying to compete.
That is true. So, and I think they have a lot of young talent that is going to improve this season and going to surprise a lot of teams. The Nets, play-in or lottery?
Play-in.
Cleveland, I would say contender.
Yeah, they're in contender status.
Boston, we got our first championship contender.
Yes, definitely.
Put them here and then raise them up here. Minnesota, play-in or first round exit?
Both. I think they're trying. They're a play-in team, but they're also just a team that's a first round exit. So yeah, probably first round exit though. That's where they were last year.
Yeah. Thunder, I think they're in that play-in
contender.
Oh my God! Will you stop? I'm gonna
championship
say first round
contender.
Exit. I'm going to say first round exit. I went play-in. If this time last year, I would have said play-in. Now I'm saying I'm raising y'all up. I'm saying first round exit.
I think they're trying to be a play-in team. Last year was a year early because last year I do think they were thought to be more of a lottery team. They made the play-in. This year, I think they're thought to be more of a play-in team. So they'll probably end up being a first-round exit. But dude, the West, there's a lot of good teams in the West. Yeah. Like you got to look at who they got to jump and everything. I feel like they're a play-in team.
I'll put y'all at the top of the play-in, though, because I think y'all are a first-round exit. So I'll put you on top of the play-in. Okay.
That's fair.
Miami, now we're going pre-Dame trade Miami. I'll say serious contenders.
First round exit.
You're ridiculous. How can you hate after that playoff run?
It's not a good team. It's not a good team. And they lost pieces too. As currently constructed, SB3, they were a 8th seed last year. I'm glad they had a great playoff run. They were an eighth seed last year, and they got worse. They didn't do anything this offseason. If you
contender.
Fine, we'll split the difference. Contender.
Ridiculous. Sacramento Kings. I'm going to also say contender.
Yeah, they were what, a three seed last year. They didn't do a whole lot in the offseason, but they're banking on some team chemistry and some internal improvement. Contender's good.
Now, this might be the most interesting one. The Golden State Warriors picking up Chris Paul, re-signing Draymond Green. Got older, but did they get better? Yes. Where do you see them?
Championship contender. They're going for it. I think they are a team that any.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time you have Steph and Clay and Draymond, you were, and then you add Chris Paul, you were telling everybody you're looking to win a title. So I think they are a championship contender.
I would say serious contender, but I'm going by your judgment on a couple of these, because I trust your judgment. You did get the championship right at the beginning of this time last year, so I'll give you credit for that. Chicago Bulls, I'll say play-in.
Yeah, play-in. Probably lottery after they smarten up and trade everybody.
Yes. Right now, I'm saying play-in, but
yeah, right
I'm
now they're play-in.
They're easily going to drop to lottery. Probably the next time we look at this power ranking. Los Angeles Lakers. See, I'm going to be fair and unbiased, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just going to say serious contenders.
No. You have LeBron. You have Anthony Davis. They won the offseason, SP3.
This is true. We got to hang the banner of the offseason. Top of the I'll put them right here. Championship contenders. I do agree with you, sir. Indiana Pacers. Lottery?
I think they're threatening for a play-in spot. Oh. Yeah. I like the Pacers. Like, they weren't bad last year. There was some health. I really like Tyrese Halliburton. Like,
yeah.
They're probably closer to lottery than they are play-in. And I think they're better than the Bulls, honestly.
I put them above the Bulls.
I'm convinced the Bulls are just,
We could drop the Bulls down the lottery because I think we're both down.
No. As currently constructed, they're a play-in team. I'm not that high on them, and I think they're going to end up trading off everybody.
True. Memphis Grizzlies. You got Ja Morant out for, 25 games? You got...
They got Marcus Smart. I do like the Marcus Smart pickup.
That was the key pickup. I see them more as a contender or first-round exit.
I see them as a serious contender as constructed because they've been a two seed the past couple of years. They haven't done anything in the playoffs, but I really like the Marcus Smart pickup. Ja will be back within 25 games. Who knows what other moves they're going to make. Desmond Bane is really good. Jaren Jackson's good. I think they are a serious contender. What that actually means, I mean, you kind of explained what it meant, but I think we got to have some serious contenders, and looking at the rest of the list, there ain't too many. It seems like it's everybody's just a contender or a championship contender. So I feel like they're more on the serious contender side.
I can't take myself to put them in serious contender and not the Miami Heat. I think they're more of a contender. They still need to make a move, in my opinion. The Marcus Smart move is good, but they need that next move that's just okay, now they're serious here. I don't think they've taken that next step to be in the serious contender tier.
So if you want to put them in contender, that's fine.
Because I would say right now, out of these teams, I would put Memphis second or third. So I wouldn't say they're unanimously the number one team out of these teams to put them in serious contender.
Okay.
Atlanta Hawks, play-in, first round exit.
Probably a first round exit again. I shouldn't say again. They did make the final or conference finals a couple of years ago. Probably a first round exit.
Orlando Magic. I feel like this is an interesting one between lottery and play-in.
They could threaten for a play-in spot. I do like Orlando. And again, there's so many teams that are going to switch throughout the season. We see it all the time in the NBA, how teams will surprise you and teams will disappoint. I could see Orlando being one of those surprising teams in the East. If I got Indiana as a play-in, I could see Orlando being a play-in.
Yeah, I could see that as well. So let's do that here. Milwaukee Bucks, championship contender?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, that's an easy one. Re-signing all their guys, Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton, got Giannis Antetokounmpo, one of the top three players in the league, so easy championship contender there. Same with the Denver Nuggets. They are the NBA champions, so they deserve to be at the top of the list. Whoopee! You got Jokic. They had a bad offseason. That's why I'm hating, because they had a bad offseason.
They lost Bruce Brown. That was their offseason.
Yes. Lost Bruce Brown. Lost Jeff Green.
Okay. Jeff Green's nice in spurts, but it's not the biggest.
Hey.
They still got their top guys.
Yeah. New Orleans Hornets. No, excuse me. New Orleans Pelicans. New Orleans Pelicans. I say play in or first round exit.
I'm fine with first round exit. I think healthy. I don't know. You won't. I don't mind putting them contender and then bumping up to people to say that's a good team when healthy. That's a good team when healthy. Can they stay healthy? They've not proven it. Zion certainly hasn't proven that at all. First round exit for now is fine.
Clippers, I think this is our first serious contender.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially, I think they can bump. They will be able to bump up to championship contender if they do complete the James Harden trade. You see, this is another reason why I say we should put Miami. So it's an easy bump up to championship contender when they get Dame. We should put them as series contender, but the Clippers for sure. If you get James Harden with Russell Westbrook, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George. That's a championship contender. But as presently constructed with Russell Westbrook, with Paul George, with Kawhi Leonard, and us not knowing their health, I would just say at best, if we don't know the health of the top two players, they're just a serious contender.
I agree.
The Phoenix Suns, I think they can fall between series contender or championship contender. Where do you lie?
I mean, they're championship contender. They've got Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, DeAndre Ayton. Like, that's a team that is going for a championship.
That is fair. Next, we got an interesting one. The Philadelphia 76ers.
As currently constructed, probably serious contenders, because like Harden, they're running back the same team, which that team last year was a serious contender until they choked it away. Now they've got Nick Nurse, who everyone is in agreement is upgrade over Doc Rivers. Again, 3 weeks from now, where this will probably change, as currently constructed, serious contenders.
That is fair. Next, we got the San Antonio Spurs getting Victor Wembanyama. Got the young core there. I think they're either between play-in and lottery, depending on how good Wemby really is.
I think they're lottery still, because look, I assume Wemby's going to be very good. The rest of the team isn't great. They were at where they were at last season for a reason. It's a lot to expect they're going to jump some of these teams just because of Wemby. And look, maybe they will, but I it's tough for me to look at them as a play-in team right now.
That is fair. One thing I think we're not going to have any debate on: the Washington Wizards lottery.
That's a lottery team that's going to score a lot of points, though, and like win yes. or lose games like 160 to 140.
160 to 140. I love it. But yes, definitely a lottery team. The New York Knicks, I think they're either first round exit or contenders.
Probably first round exit. I mean, like they beat the Cavs last year, and we have Cavs as a contender. I still think the Cavs are better overall, at least on paper. I know the Knicks beat them. So, but yeah, I think they're more of a first round exit team.
That's fair. And finally, the Toronto Raptors.
Probably play in. They lost Van Vliet, but like they still have Siakam, OG, like Gary Trent, Scotty Barnes. They still have like good players. And it seemed like they're not willing to like blow it up or anything. They added Dennis Schroeder, who I know you like. They're probably closer to play in.
I'm going to agree with you, because I had them in a play-in spot last year. Not much has changed other than losing Van Vliet, which is a big loss. So that's why I'll put them at the bottom of the play-in. No, they can't be at the bottom of the play-in. They got to be above the Chicago Bulls. But yeah.
The Bulls are a better team. The Bulls are a better team on paper than the Raptors. I'm low on the Bulls because I think they trade everybody. But they're LaVine, DeRozan, Vucevic, Ayo, like they've got a halfway decent team. It's just the pieces don't all fit there to me, and yeah. I just don't think they're gonna do that well. But yeah, I think they're a better team.
Yeah, but this seems pretty right. Only one I said I disagree with, like I said, is Miami being in serious contenders, but everything else, I think it's in the right spot. We got championship contenders, the Denver Nuggets. We got Boston Celtics right behind them getting Porzingis. We got the Golden State Warriors re-signing Draymond Green, getting Chris Paul. Los Angeles Lakers winning the entire free agency, getting Austin Reeves back, Rui Hachimura, D'Angelo Russell picking up some extra pieces as well, including who was it? Anthony? Gabe Anthony or something like that? Yeah. Milwaukee Bucks.
Gabe Anthony. Who's Gabe Anthony?
I totally botched that. I had a brain fart, but I was like, moving on.
Milwaukee, you won the Bucks, offseason. You don't even know who they signed.
Gabe Vincent. I had a brain fart. I'm sorry, people. I have 2 3-year-olds, and they're both three-nagers, and that takes a lot out of somebody that sometimes I can't remember everybody that we signed this offseason. We signed a lot of people.
Wow, fake Milwaukee SP3.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Now this. Let me see you handle Gabe Anthony. Two 3-year-olds, including this girl. This girl
hard. I got children.
3-year-olds. No, that's why I specified. I didn't say children. I said 3-year-olds.
I got multiples though.
Milwaukee Bucks, getting re-signing Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez, got their core back, been a championship contender for the last couple of years. And then finally, this is the one championship contender I don't 100% agree with you on, the Phoenix Suns, but they do have Kevin Durant. They do got, Bradley Beal. Picking up Bradley Beal this offseason is a huge move. And they did have a pretty good free agency filling in spots around those three guys. So that's why I didn't put up that much of a fuss. Serious contenders, you got the Los Angeles Clippers. You got the Philadelphia 76ers. Both of these teams are kind of in that position where they could drop down to contenders or go up to championship contenders, depending on how the season goes or what other moves they make in the offseason. You got contenders, Miami Heat should be a serious contender. Cleveland Cavaliers, the Sacramento Kings, and the Memphis Grizzlies. You got the first round exits, the New York Knicks, Dallas Mavericks, Atlanta Hawks, Minnesota Timberwolves, New Orleans Pelicans. Keep wanting to say Hornets. We got play-ins, Oklahoma City Thunder, Houston Rockets, Brooklyn Nets, Indiana Pacers, Orlando Magic, Toronto Raptors, and Chicago Bulls. And in the lottery, we got the Charlotte Hornets, going to say it more than once so I get stuck in my head, Utah Jazz, Detroit Pistons, Portland Trail Blazers, San Antonio Spurs, and the Washington Wizards.
I'm happy with this for the time being until trades eventually end up getting made.
Yes.
That's where I'm at. Yeah, Hornets might be the worst team in the league. Honestly, I don't like that team at all. It's not a good team. It's not a good team.
So I put them at the top of the lottery. Their goal is the number one overall pick this season.
It might get
not
it.
To win.
It might get it. It might get
not
it.
To win.
We did get asked a football question. I want to make sure we honor it. Eddie James, you guys ever give your thoughts on the Colts and Jonathan Taylor situation? Enjoy the content. We did not give our thoughts on that, but it's running backs. There's been a lot of discussion about running backs in the NFL and how we know kind of their shelf life with everything. And they had the big meeting of like, we want to get paid. We deserve fair market value on this stuff. And then Jonathan Taylor, I said it was a back injury. He kind of shot that down. I'm like, nope, not that at all. He wants to be traded. We will see where it goes. I think Jonathan Taylor is very good. But the running back market just isn't good in the NFL. That's why you're seeing teams pay them less and you're seeing teams draft them in like later rounds, because you get a good, I'd say 4 or 5 years out of them. And then that's kind of their shelf life for a lot of these guys. And you got to get guys who can also do a little bit more than just, run the ball. That's Christian McCaffrey. I mean, McCaffrey can't necessarily fully stay healthy, but he can do a lot out of the backfield more than just be a running back who lines up and runs. Like, got to be able to catch out of the backfield and stuff as well. I don't know. I don't have the full story on the whole Jonathan Taylor situation. It's not great. The fact that they're like, oh yeah, he's hurt. He's got back pain. He failed his physical. And then he went on Twitter and was like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, none of this is true. Not a good situation when it comes to that. So it's clearly not good. the overall situation between Jonathan Taylor and the Colts, and we will see how it gets settled and which team is willing to kind of go after him, potentially trade for him. Like, the value I don't think is super high. I think the Colts probably want a halfway decent return for him. And because, like, if you're telling teams he has back issues, and we already know just the shelf life of running backs in general, like, you're lucky to get like a late draft pick for him. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. He wants a contract extension as well. They're not going to re-sign him. So if they want to trade him, they're not going to get a whole lot. And I mean, he led the league in rushing a couple years ago. So the running back, it's an odd market in the NFL. It's just an odd market. I can't make any sense of it.
It used to be like the most valuable kind of position for a long time, whether it would be, you know, on the field, for teams, even in fantasy football. That used to be like the whole big thing, is get those running backs. And it still kind of is with fantasy football, but with the NFL in general, it just isn't like that. Like, you have to be very versatile. You have to, if you're a running back, you can't just run the ball. You got to be able to block. You got to be able to get out of the backfield and catch the ball. You got to do all this. If you're a quarterback, you got to be able to run and be mobile and get out of the pocket and get some rushing yards. It's very much the evolution of the game we're seeing with the NFL, where like something like a wide receiver, which is only really asked to do really, you know, two things, which is to block and to run and catch the ball, they're kind of considered one of the more valuable positions over the running back now, it seems. And it kind of mirrors the evolution of the NBA game, where now the NBA, where it used to be all about the wings, is all about the big men, because now the big men can shoot threes and pass the ball like point guards. So it's all the evolution of the game, and you're seeing it with the top two sports in basketball and football right now.
Okay. I have to run very shortly, so let's hit on some reality television. I'm going to be very quick on Dating Naked. So here's the premise of the show. It is exactly what it sounds like. It is Dating Naked. They show up to these dates completely, completely naked. There are two people on this show, season two. Their names are Chris and Carrie, and every single day they go on a new date. At the end of the day, week, whatever it is, they pick their keeper person. So there's always like one person in the house. They go through the entire season, and then they finally pick who they want to end with in the all, and you can pick each other. So all season, I'm not spoiling anything. This show was from 2015. If you're spoiled, get over it. It's on Paramount Plus though. But all season, Carrie is like, I love Chris. I like Chris. I want to be with Chris. No matter which guy comes in, she's kicking both guys out of the villa and everything at a time. She's like, I don't like either of them. You know, and all this stuff. She's like, I like Chris. I like Chris. I like Chris. In the end, she does not pick Chris. Chris picks her. She does not pick Chris. She picks this guy, Mason, who she previously got rid of, but he came back because it was clear she had a good connection with him. And so at the end of the season, they brought back like the person they had the strongest kind of connection with that was previously eliminated. So she picks this guy, Mason, after all season, and be like, I want to be with Chris. We did some research on Carrie and Mason. They apparently broke up about 2 hours after filming ended, because after Mason got eliminated the first time, he was already trying to hook up with somebody else. So like, he got eliminated the first time, and then he was trying to hook up with somebody else, and then he got brought back on the show. Carrie picked him, and then she found out about this and ended it. So yeah, she picked this man who she did eliminated.
Why, how's she mad? How's she mad? You eliminated him.
I don't think she was mad. I mean, maybe, but I don't know. But the wife was not happy with this at all. She's like, this is absolute bullshit. All season, Chris was the one who was like waning, is like, oh, who does he actually like, type of thing. He wasn't like fully committed to Carrie, and then Carrie was committed to, or Carrie was committed to him the entire time. And then Chris committed to him. Chris committed to her, and we're like, oh, that's a little surprising, because we don't know. And then, yes, Carey was like, nope, I'm going with Mason. So that was the end of that season. We're going to watch the next season. There's only two seasons. The first season was like, it wasn't episodic. It was just like new people every single time. So it's like, eh, sure. I like the episodic stuff. So they corrected that for the second season. Now we got the third season to watch. I don't know what changes they make from the second to the third season. We'll see. After we watch this season, I'll give my takes on maybe changes they could make. They should bring the show back. I think it's a good concept. They should bring it back for Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus needs whatever content they can have. There's your quick and dirty of Dating Naked.
Here, I'll give you a quick and dirty of 90 Day the Other Way and the most toxic relationship I've ever seen. I think the guy's name is Jamie. I forget his girlfriend's name, but she's in the Philippines. And basically, they both are insecure because they were previously in relationships where they were cheated on. So the girl suggests, or the guy suggests, I don't know who suggested it, that they be on FaceTime 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, 24 hours. Literally, when they do the little like camera view and they be like, this is the person's name and age, he literally has her on the phone for that. Like, he has conversations with his mother and sister who don't like her, and they are telling him, they're talking about her and how she doesn't like him being around females and how she gets like very insecure. And he's on the plane to go see her, and she says, let me see who's next to you. And there's a female next to him, and she goes, she wants to break up with him while he's on the flight to go see her because he's sitting next to a female. She says, there's always girls around. You always like girls. You always around girls. You literally can't check if the gender of who's sitting next to you when you get a plane ticket. This is the most toxic.
That should be a thing. That should be a thing. Like, it should be gender assignments. So it's like, nope, not sitting next to any males. I don't want to sit next to any males. I don't want to sit next to any females. That should be a thing.
I was dumbfounded. And the fact of the matter is, the only person we've seen in this relationship on the show so far that is lying or being kind of untrustworthy is her. She literally says when he goes to sleep, she goes out and hangs out with her friends who are all guys, and she turns off the router to her phone so there's no connection. So he does, and she doesn't tell him that she's going out. But if he goes out with any female at all, he can't go see his mother because his mother has female roommates. He can't go and see her because she doesn't want him around other females that is not family. He can't go see his sister because she might have a friend around, and he can't go see her like that. He can't have a job because he can't be on FaceTime at any old job. It is unreal how toxic this relationship is. And on the other way, she claims that he made her quit modeling and going to school because she was a dancer and he didn't like her dancing around guys. Like, it's the most toxic relationship in the history. And I'm only two episodes in, folks. We're just getting started. This last episode was about his journey to go see her. This next episode is when they actually see each other. And we've just found out from her brother that her parents, who they're staying with, don't want him to ask permission to kiss her. And she does not let him know any of that. She does not let him know any of the culture and what's going to be asked of him. And I know he's going to kiss her when he gets off the plane. Can't wait. Can't wait. It's like, yo, this is the most toxic relationship ever. I love it.
I got to get back into the 90 Day Fiancé. I say this all the time. I, of course, don't have like the time to actually do all of this, but I should get back into the 90 Day Fiancé. It's just, it's such a trash reality show. Like, It's so terrible.
With terrible people, like doing terrible things to one another.
Oh, yeah, it can be a little like, it's a very toxic show, and it can be a little like off-putting at times of just how terrible these people are. But it is just tremendous trash TV.
The other update is on Gino and Jasmine. So, Gino, I know how I made him sound when he said, you know, I don't want to cut because you don't have the proper equipment. You don't have the proper equipment. Jasmine is worse. Jasmine made Gino pay for a new apartment for her. He has to pay like $4,000, and that's like $2,000 more than he wanted to pay for it because it's in a nicer part of Panama. The reason she wants to stay in this nicer part of Panama is because her ex-boyfriend lives in the same apartment building. Her ex-boyfriend, who when Gino goes to sleep when she first comes and he doesn't want to have sex with her, she tells him, my ex-boyfriend used to have sex with me all the time. He never had a problem with me. He fucks better. He looks better. He smells better. He got a better job. He does not know that that ex-boyfriend lives in that apartment
building. Ooh.
Literally, before he came, she had like drinks with the ex-boyfriend on camera and was talking about, oh yeah, we can cook together. Yeah, we can cook together. Like, I was like, yo, oh my god.
Oh, that's not good.
Oh my god, Gino, no. And then Gino suggests a prenup, and she just starts snapping on him. And it's like obvious to everyone. She just wants a visa to use you for money, bro. Like,
that's not good. That's not good. Oh, well, Trey is like 4,000. Oh, hell no. Yeah, I don't think they're going to work, SP3. I don't think that's going to go well.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to go. All right. Anything else to plug or anything like that?
I'm going to make sure I complete my Jersey Shore season one, and we'll talk about season one next week, but I definitely wanted to talk about 90 Days. I'm going to continue watching with the misses. It's our addiction together.
There you go. Cher Delaware will definitely be on next week if we're talking about Jersey Shore season one. She is a Jersey Shore historian at this point. Yes. I watched it, get my memory on this stuff. God awful. But once we start talking about it, I'm sure some stuff will be trudged up there. But that's all right. Plug away, SP3.
Check me out, YouTube, True Hill Heat YouTube channel, TRU no E, for anyone who has already subscribed and support us over there. Thank you. We just hit 8,000 subscribers over there on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel. Next goal is 10,000 before the end of the year, so looking forward to that. So go over and subscribe if you haven't already, and you can also become a member by hitting the join button for $1 a month. And I'll be, you can find me on the Twitter machine or X machine. Weird at yeah. True Hill SP3 TRU no E once again, and I'll be live later today 2 p.m. Eastern time with Rick Uccino on the Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast with special guest Maddie Poddick previewing SummerSlam.
Tell Rick I said hello. Hope he's doing well. I know he's been under the weather a little bit, so I'm glad he's back doing stuff. And Maddie's a good dude. I've never talked to him face to face or stream to stream or whatever, but I've covered a lot of his work. He's a good dude, so I'm sure that'll be a fun show. SP3 is always on the air. You do a show literally every single day, don't you?
I tend to try to keep my Wednesdays free, but now tomorrow, because it's pay-per-view week. Pay-per-view weeks, yeah, I'm usually on air pretty much every day. So tomorrow we'll be going live on True Hill Heat. I try to schedule things because I don't like to get in the way of in the weeds. I like to give them room. You know, we don't want any Wednesday, any Monday or Friday morning wars. So I schedule things at 12:05 now. So we'll be live tomorrow, 12:05 on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel for a SummerSlam preview. Myself, Romeo, and special guest Graham Matthews of Wrestle Rant and Bleacher Report.
Nice. There you go. Everyone go over to True Hill Heat and subscribe, follow, just watch the shows, leave thumbs ups on the videos, all that good stuff. SP3, always putting in that work. As far as here, I don't know, Fightful Overbooked, leave a thumbs up on all the videos, subscribe to the channel if you're not subscribed, if you're listening on like podcasts or anything like that. We will have a new episode of In the Weeds tomorrow. I assume Joel Pearl will be back. Otherwise, I'll be messaging SP3 at 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. tonight and be like, hey, want to come on? We're scheduled. You know, I hate saying these things, but FMC is, it's our niche show with basketball who are also kind of wrestling fans. So I'll try, I give little teasers on the FMC when it comes to other stuff we're working on. Scheduled to have Jordan Oliver tomorrow on In the Weeds, so that'll be nice. A lot of fun. Yeah, Jordan Oliver, he's got a lot. He's busy. He's a busy, busy man. But he's scheduled to join us.
About to make his New Japan debut next month in Philly. Yes. That's going to be exciting. And also for us, I love when sports and wrestling cross over. For fans, we're ending early, so you have an hour to prepare. 11:15 a.m. Roman Reigns on First Take.
Yeah, there you go. Sure. All right, everybody. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Talk to y'all next week. Goodbye, everyone.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.